Located 220 miles northeast of Quebec City in Canada, at 48.51 degrees north latitude, Les Jardins des Métis is the northernmost garden in the eastern half of North America. Also known as Reeford Gardens, they have been open to the public since 1962. So in an area not known for its horticulture, how did these gardens start? Alexander Reeford is the director of Les Jardins des Métis Reeford Gardens.
This garden is the fruit of a woman's passion. My great-grandmother was a Montrealer who summered here, initially to fish for salmon. The original raison d'être of this place was a fishing lodge, so she came with her wealthy uncle and his friends and allies and spent many summers fishing on the river next to it. And then in the mid-20s, she was traveling and had appendicitis and was sent home via a Cunard vessel and was told by her doctors, no fishing this summer, no physical activity that will be too stressful on your fragile body. She was then in her mid-50s, and it was at that point that she basically was obliged to sit in the veranda of this giant house for a summer. And as she, you know, went through the weeks, boredom became, I guess, a challenge, and she took up this challenge to transform the land adjacent to this house into a garden. So she imagined this garden and then spent the rest of her life, essentially the next 35 years, building the garden, obviously with a lot of healthy men and strong arms. But she imagined this basically from nothing. It was a completely unlandscaped property, and she developed over 30-some years a 20-acre garden adjacent to this house, which has been open to the public for the last 50 years.
And where did all the plants come from? Are they all native plants that she found around about the place?
I suppose, like a lot of gardeners of that era, she had a mixity of laziness and adventure. So the laziness meant that she kept a lot of the native plants. She used the ferns in particular and the native species of trees, mostly conifers such as spruce and cedar and balsam fir. And the exoticism came from the fact that she was an adventurer. She traveled a lot, and she wanted to try plants that hadn't been tried in this climate. So she was able to become a member of various rock garden societies, and thereby was able to import plants, live plants in that era, which was then possible, and began to people her garden with a mixture of indigenous and exotics. And she was very fortunate in developing the gardens in the mid-1920s, which was precisely the moment that a lot of these extraordinarily effective plant explorers were then working in China and Tibet and Nepal. And so she was able to get, for instance, the Mechanopsis, the Tibetan blue poppy, and tried here. And she found, as she did with many of the perennials, that her climate was almost the perfect environment for some of these unusual Himalayan plants that had a hard time in other climates but did really well here.
So after her death, what happened then? Who took over the gardens?
She left the gardens to my grandfather in 1955. She was then in her 80s, and she felt that her eldest son, who was a retired soldier, had spent his life in the British Army, was the natural inheritor of this property. And he, frankly, after 4 or 5 years of trying to keep it up, realized that he didn't have either the interest or the money to maintain it. And so he sold the property to the government of Quebec in 1961. And it was their courage, I guess, that A, preserved the garden, but B, also saw this as an opportunity and opened it to the public the following year. It was something my family never imagined. But the government, as governments sometimes do, they got kind of tired of managing this highly maintenance-driven site in the 1990s, began a process to sell it. And it was that point that my family, the same family that had sold it 30 years prior, became involved in trying to resurrect the property and purchase it from the government in 1995. So I've been the manager ever since, having taken this, I guess, mantle on from the government, and have been having a great time not just managing the old garden, but also developing all kinds of new areas which are of interest to me in terms of contemporary gardens and new areas such as the vegetable garden that are somewhat anachronistic but build on the tradition here and take it to new places that have been quite exciting.
So as a visitor to the garden, what am I going to see?
So visiting this garden is an experience of wandering through a forested space, coming across these open areas where there are perennial plants, crossing a number of bridges over a stream, and basically a garden experience like any other, which is to admire the beautiful flowers and to have moments of, I guess, contemplative enjoyment in a pretty large and extensive ornamental garden. What's a bit different about this garden is that it's completely amateur. Amateur in the sense that my great-grandmother was a passionate woman but had no formal training. And so because of that, she didn't come to the landscape with this need to shape it or to manicure it. So there are not a lot of straight lines. There's not a lot of formal spaces. There's no statuary per se. She developed the garden because nature gave it a topography, and so she used the topography, she used the spaces, she cut some trees, but she was basically a kind of a passive user of the topography. And because of that, the garden has a nice feel of intimate spaces. It's somewhat personal. It's not masculine. It's very feminine. It's not geometric. It's not axial. It's all about small spaces that lead you from one small chamber to the next.
That's Alexander Reford, director of Les Jardins des Métis Reford Gardens. For more information, visit ReefordGardens.com.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at PassionForThePlanet.com.